Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 24th of September 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be talking with Sean Hutton from CSIRO about how his organisation is successfully spinning nanotubes into fibres. We'll also hear how researchers are making lights much brighter with quantum dots, how quantum computing is now a couple of steps closer, and how a 3D printer will allow you to fax solid objects around the world. These stories and many more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Researchers based at the University of Pittsburgh have created the best method so far for assembling wire-like structures only a single molecule wide, a significant step in science's increasing attempts to reduce the circuitry size of electronic devices to a single molecule scale and providing smaller, faster, and more efficient electronics. The project presents a template for assembling molecules over troughs that are only as wide as a single atom of copper, but can be made to several times that length, matching wires currently used in computers and other devices. These ultra-thin wires are one-dimensional, which may enable them to conduct electricity with minimal loss and thus improve the performance of an electronic device. With the help of a device capable of depositing metals an atom at a time in the materials used in computer chips, a team of University of Wisconsin-Madison engineers have successfully blended modern semiconductor technology with nanomachines. The work marks the advent of a new class of nanomechanical devices with implications ranging from improved solar energy cells and light-emitting diodes to highly sensitive probes capable of measuring single biological molecules. The new work was conducted using a unique device known as a focused ion beam writer, an instrument that, in essence, operates like a sandblaster and can shower a sample of silicon with atoms to impregnate the material with metal in precise patterns at the nanoscale. The new electromechanical qualities in nanodevices can be employed in a wide range of applications. Physicists at the National Institute of Standards and Technology have transferred information between two artificial atoms by way of electronic vibrations on a microfabricated aluminium cable, demonstrating a new component for potential ultra-powerful quantum computers of the future. The setup resembles a miniature version of a cable television transmission line, with some powerful added features, including semiconducting circuits with zero electrical resistance and multitasking data bits that obey the unusual rules of quantum physics. The resonant cable might someday be used in quantum computers, which would rely on quantum behavior to carry out certain functions, such as code breaking and database searches, exponentially faster than today's most powerful computers. Moreover, the superconducting components in the NIST demonstration offer the possibility of being easier to manufacture and scale up to a practical size than many competing candidates, such as individual atoms, for storing and transporting data in quantum computers. Two major steps towards putting quantum computers into real practice, sending a photon signal on demand from a qubit onto wires and transmitting the signal to a second distant qubit, have been brought about by a team of scientists at Yale. Over the past several years, researchers have explored the use of solid-state devices resembling microchips as the basic building blocks in the design of a quantum computer. Now, for the first time, they report that superconducting qubits, or artificial atoms, have been able to communicate information not only to their nearest neighbor, but also to a distant qubit on a chip. This research now moves quantum computing from having information to communicating information. In the past, information had only been transferred directly from qubit to qubit in a superconducting system. A consultation on seven principles of responsible practice for organizations working in the rapidly developing area of nanotechnologies has been launched. The Responsible Nanocode has been drafted by a working group established by the Royal Society, Insight Investment, the Nanotechnology Industries Association, and the Nanotechnology Knowledge Transfer Network. The aim of the Responsible Nanocode is to establish an international consensus on what constitutes good practice and to provide guidance on what organisations and businesses can do to demonstrate they are responsibly managing them while the need for further regulation is being evaluated. More information and a complete draft copy of the code can be found at www.responsiblenanocode.org. By placing quantum dots on a specially designed photonic crystal, researchers at the University of Illinois have demonstrated enhanced fluorescent intensity by a factor of up to 108. Potential applications include high-brightness light-emitting diodes, optical switches, and personalized high-sensitivity biosensors. A quantum dot is a tiny piece of semiconductor material 2 to 10 nanometers in diameter. When illuminated with invisible ultraviolet light, a quantum dot will fluoresce with visible light. To enhance the fluorescence, researchers at the University of Illinois begin by creating plastic sheets of photonic crystal using a technique called replica molding. They then fasten commercially available quantum dots to the surface of the plastic. Researchers at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute have created a razor-like material that is truly on the cutting edge of nanotechnology. Called nanoblades, these first-of-their-kind magnesium nanomaterials challenge conventional wisdom about nanostructure growth and could have applications in energy storage and fuel cell technology. The sharp nanometer-scale surface is vastly different from any other nanomaterial that has been created before using oblique angle deposition. The team's nearly two-dimensional structure changes the traditional understanding of oblique angle deposition, which was previously thought to always create cylindrical structures like nanorods or nanosprings. The materials could be extremely useful for energy storage, particularly hydrogen storage. In order to store hydrogen, a large surface area is needed to provide room for the material to expand as more hydrogen atoms are stored. The vast surface area of each nanoblade, coupled with the large spaces between each blade, could make them ideal for this application. It's a simple matter to print an e-book or other document directly from your computer, whether that document's on your hard drive, at a website, or in an email. But imagine being able to print solid objects, a piece of sports equipment, say, or a kitchen utensil, or even a prototype car design for wind tunnel tests. US researchers suggest such 3D printer technology will soon enter the mainstream once a killer application emerges. Such technology already exists and is maturing rapidly so that high-tech designers and others can share solid designs almost as quickly as sending a fax. The systems available are based on a bath of liquid plastic which is solidified by laser light. The movements of the laser are controlled by a computer that reads a digitized 3D map of the solid object or design. The research team discusses the current advanced applications of rapid prototyping, which exist in the military where missing and damaged components can be produced at the site of action. Education too can make use of 3D printing to allow students to make solid their experimental designs. Researchers at the Institute of Bioengineering and Nanotechnology, Institute of Molecular and Cell Biology, and Genome Institute of Singapore have successfully developed a miniaturized device that can be used to detect the highly pathogenic avian flu H5N1 virus. If successfully commercialized, the device could be deployed in affected regions for preemptive surveillance of nascent avian flu epidemic. With early warning, a potential avian flu epidemic can be averted. Avian influenza is now entrenched in Asia with sporadic human infections resulting from either direct contact with infected birds or limited human-to-human transmission. Biomedical engineers at the University of Texas School of Health Information Sciences at Houston have announced preclinical test results demonstrating the feasibility of a smart particle insulin release system that detects spikes in glucose or blood sugar levels and releases insulin to counteract them. Designed to mimic functions of the pancreas, which produces the blood sugar-regulating hormone insulin, the smart particle system stabilized blood sugar levels in animal models with suppressed pancreatic functions for up to 6 hours. The system is inhalable. The small particle system could potentially treat other health conditions. (laughs) This week's Azo Nano News interview is with Sean Hutton from the CSIRO. Sean talks about how the CSIRO are successfully spinning nanotubes into fibres. These fibres can then be used in a range of applications from light bulb filaments through to nerve replacements for the repair of severed nerves. With further research, the fibres may even find their way into specialist clothing for ballistics protection or even the fabled space elevator.
David Bruin from Azo Nano. I'm here on the floor at COMS 2007 with Dr. Sean Hutton from CSIRO. Sean's agreed to give us a few minutes of his time to talk about what the CSIRO is doing in regards to nanotechnology.
Well, we're one of the few groups in the world that is able to spin carbon nanotubes. These are very strong, very small molecules of carbon that we can spin them to make textile yarns. And we've been these yarns have quite good strength, very good conductivity, and we've been able to not only spin them but ply them and knit them into larger, more complex structures. We've been investigating them for applications, for example, for light bulbs, for filaments, for specialised applications. We've been growing cells on our nanotubes for biomedical applications, including nerve cells, looking at the electrical interactions between the nerve cells and our nanotubes for nanobiotic devices, retinal implants, cochlear implants, and those sorts of applications. We've also been looking at trying to improve the strength of these things, and in theory at least they could be used for ballistics protection and very, very strong materials. So a lot of our research at the moment is targeted at both increasing the strength and also improving the production rate so that we can make larger amounts of these materials.
So you're at the forefront of the fabled space elevator with the...
That's correct, yes. Unfortunately, our strengths are not quite there as yet, but they are improving, and if there's any material that could build a space elevator, this would be it.
Fantastic. Excellent. So that's the main product that you're talking about and promoting here at COMS 2000?
Yes, that's right. That's what we're here to promote. But we're also here to represent the niche manufacturing flagship, which Tracy might be able to tell you a bit more about that.
CSIRO has just announced funding for the new niche manufacturing flagship, which of which nanotechnology will be a main focus.
So that's all based on actually bringing nanotechnology based items to market.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So we're looking at upscaling our production. We're converting conventional textile technology to handle spinning of nanotubes and knitting and so forth. So
Given that carbon itself has a quite good lubricating properties in its graphite form, but it also can be extremely hard in its diamond form, the carbon nanotubes, when they're going through that traditional spinning and manufacturing process, does it have offer much improvements in that machine in terms of stopping wear, or does it work in the other way and increase wear?
It actually is a bit tricky to process our yarns. Well, one of the things is our yarns are typically around about 6 micron in diameter, so they're very, very small, which makes them very difficult to handle. We can ply them to make thicker and stronger yarns, but we also find that they are not very abrasive, that they have weakened a bit by abrasion, so we have had to modify our techniques to cope with this.
Great, fantastic. So generally about nanotechnology itself, is there any particular aspect of nanotechnology that you can see having the greatest benefit to mankind?
There's so many different things. I think the biomedical applications at the moment are looking the most promising to us. I mean, if you can get grow tissues on these structures, if you can get them to interact electrically, I mean, that's going to have some profound effects for things like nerve repair and for neural prostheses and brain machine interface and so forth. So from my point of view, that's probably the most exciting application at the moment. But if we can get the production rates up, then making super strong materials, I mean, theoretically the strongest materials known to man, I mean, that also would have some pretty profound implications.
There's been some coverage in the news lately about nanotechnology and some perceived dangers to the public. Does the public have anything to worry about from nanotechnology?
Well, we find that at least as far as our studies on cells, that the cells are quite happy to live on them, so we don't find any toxicity. Our nanotubes are virtually pure carbon, so there's very little catalyst particles, which aids with the biocompatibility. And I think some recent research has also shown that a lot of these perceived dangers have been exaggerated to some extent, because many of the tests that people use to test the biocompatibility of things like nanotubes have shown to produce false positives. So I think, well, there's always you always need to be cautious. I think with this particular technology, the dangers are probably overstated.
For those people that aren't able to attend the COMS 2000 conference, is there any particular message you'd like to send to them?
Well, I just think that CSIRO is leading the world in this area, and I think it's just fantastic to see an Australian organisation that can produce such a fantastic material.
Thanks for your time, Sean.
AzoNano Business News. Kanaka Technologies, an innovator in development and commercialization of power plastic, a material that converts light into energy, today announced that Dan Williams has joined the company as Vice President of Product and Business Development. A prominent, respected leader in the industrial design community, Mr. Williams will direct growth and application development of the company's proprietary power plastic photovoltaic material, ready for market commercialization. Polymer Technology Group, a preeminent biomaterials company serving the medical device industry, announced today that it spun off a life sciences incubator, Emergence. Emergence will have access to Polymer Technology Group's world-class staff and state-of-the-art facilities for synthesis, characterization, processing, regulatory approval, and manufacturing resources in the development of novel medical devices. Industrial Nanotech, an emerging global leader in nanotechnology, announced that its Nansulate coatings for insulation, corrosion prevention, mold resistance and lead encapsulation have been included in a new 117-page report on nanotechnology for green building by the Green Nanotechnology Forum. Bioforce Nanosciences Incorporated announced that its Nano Enabler system has been named one of the 25 most innovative products of 2007 by the editors of R&D magazine and the Micro Nano newsletter in the inaugural competition for products dedicated to micro and nanotechnology. Platypus Technologies LLC, a life sciences nanotechnology company, has been awarded a Phase 1 Small Business Innovation Research Grant for $600,000 from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. The funds will be used to develop a sensor for simultaneous detection of multiple air pollutants using the company's proprietary liquid crystal-based technology. NanoBioSim Incorporated announced today that it's been awarded a highly competitive $2 million contract from the United States Defense Threat Reduction Agency, a branch of the U.S. Department of Defense. BioIdent Technologies Incorporated, the leading company in the development of printed optoelectronic solutions for life sciences, today announced that the company is a co-winner in the semiconductor category for the 7th annual Wall Street Journal contest for technology innovation. BioIdent was awarded for the development of its Photonic Lab TM platform, which enables rapid in vitro diagnostics, chemical and biological threat detection, and environmental testing without the need for off-site lab analysis. The University of Oregon has received a three-year, $435,000 grant from the National Science Foundation's Partnership for Innovation program to launch the Oregon Technology Entrepreneurship Consortium, or OTEC. OTEC will form a network connecting Oregon's research universities, the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, the Oregon Nanoscience and Microtechnologies Institute, and private industry to infuse Oregon's economy with cutting-edge technologies, startup companies, and a pipeline of university-trained scientists, engineers, and entrepreneurs. That was AzoNano News for the week commencing the 24th of September 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. to review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.